We will read, I think. Please turn to Psalm 136, please. Psalm 136. Psalm 136, and we'll begin a reading at the first verse. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With the strong hand and with the stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. We'll end a reading there tonight. At the end of this psalm, you may have noticed as we're reading down through this psalm that this psalm is quite unique in that it repeats this last phrase, for his mercy endureth forever, time and time again. Every single verse we have this at the end. And I remember whenever I was a child and whoever was been preaching at the time, reading down through this passage, I remember thinking to myself, what is the point in this psalm with all of these words being repeated over and over again? And I grew to have quite a dislike for this psalm. I remember thinking, there's no point. Why? What is the reason that this is done over and over again? But now, looking at this psalm now, I see there's very good reason for to have this psalm written the way it is, and for the Holy Spirit and his wisdom to have put this in every single verse. And it simply is the point that the Spirit wants to drive home is that his mercy endureth forever. And that's very simple. But it's God wants us to remember and to give thanks for God's mercy and for his kindness to us. And that's why I want to consider with you tonight is why we should give thanks to God. Now this psalm here is laid out in a very orderly and structured way. So from verses 1 to 4, you'll see that there's an introduction to the psalm. Verses 5 to 22, we have the main body of the psalm. And then verses 23 to 26, we have the conclusion where he brings it all together. And that's why I just want to do with you this evening. I want to take the same structure as the psalmist has used and go through the psalm piece by piece. So if we start with the introduction, we have introduction, as I said, 1 to 4. So what is the theme of this psalm? What is this psalm going to be about? So verses 1 to 3, we have as you see there, for the first verse, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And you'll see that's repeated, oh, give thanks, oh, give thanks, oh, give thanks. So the theme of this psalm is that the psalmist wants us to give thanks to God. And who are we to give thanks to? Well, the psalmist gives that in the first three verses. You'll notice there, the first verse says Lord, the second verse says God, the third verse says Lord, and just for interest's sake, the last verse of the psalm has God again. And in each of those examples, each of those names given in the psalm, they're all different names in the original. They're not this. They look the same somewhat in our translation here, but in the original, they're all different names of God. And the reason God uses different names is to convey something different about himself to us, something for us to learn. So verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Now you see here in capitals, if you have it in capitals, we know it's the name Jehovah. So here we have the first name given to us. Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah. Now when God met Moses at the burning bush, he revealed to Moses to himself as Jehovah, as the covenant-keeping God. So we're to give thanks to the God who is the covenant-keeping God, the God who keeps covenant with his people. So then look down at verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Here we have the name Elohim. And the idea behind that name is strength. So if we bring these both together, we are to give thanks to the God, the Almighty God of heaven, who keeps covenant with his people. Verse 3, we have the name Adon. The idea behind the name Adon is that of a ruler, the sovereign over all of the universe. So if we put all these together, we have the sovereign ruler, the almighty sovereign ruler of the universe, who keeps covenant with his people. And that is good for us to keep in mind as we will be making our way through this psalm this evening. So that tells us who we are to give thanks to. Then, why are we to give thanks to this God? Why are we to worship this God? Well, look again with me at verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for, or because, he is good. So the reason we're to give thanks to God is, the simple reason is that God is good. And I think that is a wonderful attribute of God. Now, if you just think to yourself, if you had an almighty sovereign ruler of the universe who was not good, who in fact was evil, what a terror that would bring to us all. What a terrifying thing that would be. For we know when we have rulers on earth, people like Hitler or Stalin, these men bring such terror to their subjects because they have great power, but they're also evil. But not so with our God. What a blessing it is to have the almighty ruler of heaven, who is the covenant-keeping God with his people, that God is good, and he is always good toward his people. He never is evil or does anything against us to harm us. He is always doing things for our good, for the good of his people. So look a little further on that verse. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We see again that word for, linking us back again. So we see here that this attribute that's named time and time and time again in the psalm is being linked back to his goodness. So we see God's mercy springs from his goodness. So God's mercy, or his loving kindness, as it could be translated here, springs from his goodness. And we ought to keep this in mind as we're making our way through this psalm, because it's very important in how it links back. Because the God who is a sovereign ruler of the universe, he is the covenant-keeping God. He is the covenant, the God of the everlasting covenant with his people. And that reminds us that while we are in covenant with God, he always then will show us mercy. And he must always show us mercy, because he has promised to in his word, and Christ himself has ratified that covenant with his own blood. So that's why it's so important for us to remember who we're to give thanks to God for and why we should give thanks to him. But then in verse 4, we have somewhat of a bridge that leads us into the rest of this psalm. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. So here we have, again, why we should give God worship. And here we're told that to him alone doeth great wonders. Now that word great wonders could be translated as great works or marvelous works. To him who alone doeth marvelous works. Now there's three main works of God, and those are the works of creation, providence, and redemption. And that's what leads us then into the rest of this psalm. So in verses 5 then, down into 22, we have the main body. And I think that they split up very nicely into three parts. So we have, first of all, God's work of creation, as I've just said. So verses 5 to 7. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, to him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. So we're to give thanks to God for his mercy in creation. Here we see three times over, we are told in these verses that God is being merciful in creating this world. And I think that's not something we often thank God for. I don't know, personally, I think we should give thanks more often to God for his creation. We're here told it's because of his mercy. And as I've said in the introduction, we're to give thanks to God for his mercy. So we see God's mercy in creation. And this day and age where there's lots of people are depressed, lots of people are down, it's good for us to remind ourselves that God did not make us to make us miserable. God made us to show mercy to us. God made us, as I've said, that word mercy means loving kindness. So in making us, he was being loving and kind toward us in making us. So we should give thanks to God for making us his people, but also for his creation at large, for all that we see around us. God has called us in the psalm to give thanks to him because of his mercy in creation. Now, we know that man and his sin has marred God's creation to some degree, but yet we can still see God's mercy in all his creation around us. But then if you look down again, verses 8 and 9, we see here God's work in providence. So we should give thanks to God for his mercy in providence. Now, most of you here probably will know what God's providence is. But for those who do not, it's closely linked to God's creation. So in creation, controls all things. Remember from verse 3, he is the Lord of lords. He's the sovereign of the universe. And he looks after this creation that he has made. And we are to give thanks to God for this. Now you'll see the different things that is mentioned there. Verses 8 and 9. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. So we see there's a ruling going on there by these different luminaries in the heavens. So we have the sun, and we know the sun, the bearing the sun has upon us. It is our main source of heat for our weather, for all these things. It's vital for our survival, and we all understand that. But then we see also here the moon and stars play a role in God's governing this world. And as I was looking into this, the moon, I discovered some scientists have written papers about how the moon plays an effect of this earth. And in essence, as it makes its way around the earth, it stabilizes it. Therefore, it makes it possible for us to live on it. So the moon plays a vital role in our survival on this earth. So again, we give thanks to God for the moon. And then we have the stars. And they, for thousands of years, have been used for navigation around this earth. And still, even to today, is used for that purpose. So God, in his mercy, has provided all these things. Yes, for our comfort, for us to enjoy. It's lovely to look up into the heaven and the sky at night and to see all the things that God has created for us and to give thanks for it. But then it's also for us, for our survival and for our good. And that is why we should forever be giving thanks to God for how he looks after us every single day. Yes, in things like this, the stars and all these things, but also for providing us with our food and all of these things that is necessary for us to survive. So God, again, as I've said, is calling us to give thanks to him for how he provides for us continually. And again, sin, yes, has caused a problem. And we are sinners. And we know that when we're born into an estate of sin and misery. But that is of our making, not of God's making. We see God is merciful in how he rules us each and every day. So we ought to give thanks to him as his people. But he doesn't leave us in a sin. And that's what leads us on into this next part. And this is the main part that I want to deal with this evening, is God's work in redemption. We ought to give thanks to God for his work in redemption. And we have this for the remainder of this main body from 10 down to 22. And again, I think this splits into three parts. So firstly, we have the verses from 10 to 15. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, to him which divided the Red Sea into parts and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. Yet in these verses, we have a picture of what God has done to deliver us, his people, the true Israel of God. So here in this first section, we see God's mercy in delivering Israel out of Egypt. The Israelites, as you know, were slaves for a long time in Egypt. But God sent Moses to Pharaoh to give him this message, "Let my people go." But time and time and time again, Pharaoh says, "No, I'm not letting them go. You aren't going anywhere." But it was only after the slaying of the Passover, which we read about this evening, that as there's to him that smote Egypt and the firstborn, this was the night of the Passover, the slaying of the Passover lamb. And when that lamb was slain, it was only then that the children of Israel were able to go free. And here we see in type our justification. We see the Lord Jesus Christ as the Passover lamb. And we are to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for his mercy and for his loving kindness toward us in dying for us. We were in bondage to sin. We could not free ourselves, no matter what we tried, no matter who tried to do anything for us. We could not be free from it. And we all know this. But we think of the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our redemption to save us from our sin. And that ought to cause us to be thankful, to praise for God, for his mercy in sending someone to redeem us from our sin and to deliver us from our bondage. And we see that then in us being brought out of Egypt, spiritual Egypt, so to speak. And we see that God, in Romans 5 and 8, tells us, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not because we were good or lovely. Rather, it was because he looked down upon us in love. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a wonderful thing to know we're saved, to be able to say, saved, and I'm cleansed and I'm washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should cause us to give thanks to God. So then that moves us then on to the next section. For as we see that Israel, because of the Passover lamb, were able to come out of Egypt, they then were sent on their journey through the wilderness. And we see this, we find this here in this psalm from verses 16 to 20. To him which led his people through the wilderness, to him which smote great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon king of the Amorites and Og the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. So in the first section we saw God brought Israel out of Egypt, but now we see God bringing them through the wilderness. And if you look with me there at verse 16, you will notice that word led, to him which led his people through the wilderness. Now that word is a very interesting word, and has the idea of being carried. So you could read it this way, to him which carried his people through the wilderness. And I think that's a wonderful description of how we live on earth. Not only has God saved us from our sin, and we praise him for it, what a wonder, yet he doesn't just leave us there. Rather, he carries us the whole way through our pilgrimage here on earth. As we make our way through this world, day in, day out, and sometimes you could liken it to difficulties that the Israelites experienced in the wilderness, some hard times, some good times, but God, through the whole thing, led his people through the wilderness. And I think that's a wonderful phrase. Think that God not only just leaves us, but he actually carries us through, even through the difficult times. And I think it's interesting here, and you'll have noticed where it mentions that these kings, these famous kings. And I thought that was interesting. These men were actually giants. Now, the men mentioned here, Og and Sihon, wouldn't have fitted in this room we're standing in right now. They were well over 10 feet tall. So these men were very, very large men. They were great giants. And you'll notice here it says, to him which led his people through the wilderness, to him which smote great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan. So it's to him. So God led his people through the wilderness, but it was also God who smote these great kings and slew these famous kings, these great giants. And as I was thinking about that, I thought it was interesting. And I would say you're usually the same as me. Often when I'm looking ahead or looking at things, I can see great giants in my life, and I think to myself, how am I ever going to overcome these great giants? They seem so great that there's no way, possible way, that I can overcome them. How can I slay these great giants in my life. But you'll notice here it says that God slew these kings. Now, if you think back in your mind to the historical passages of what happened in the wilderness, you will discover that it was actually the Israelites who went out and slew these kings with their swords. So God didn't send a thunderbolt, so to speak, down and kill these men. It was actually by the sword of the Israelites that these men were slain. But here in this psalm, we're told that God slew these men. But how do we reconcile the both? Well, I think it's because it is only through the power of God Almighty, our covenant-keeping God, that we can ever have any victory over difficulties we have in life. It is not through our own strength. If we seek to go out in our own strength against sin, against difficulties in our life, we're going to fall flat on our face. Remember the count then when the Israelites finally did come into Israel, and the time we have Jericho and Ai. In Jericho, they were relying upon God's strength. He gave the victory. But in Ai, there was a problem. They weren't relying upon God. There was sin in the camp, and they hadn't got that power from God, and they fell, and they were defeated. But it is only through the power of God Almighty, who is always merciful to us, that we can have victory. And that gives us confidence tonight. Again, something we can give thanks for. We can be thankful to God because He is continually merciful to us. And He's promised that His mercy will endure forever, even to slay these great enemies in our lives, these great sins that maybe lie before us, these great problems in our circumstances. We can lift our hearts up to God and we can pray and we can say, ask God, give us help. Give us the strength we need to overcome these great battles that we will face. And we know, again, as I've said, this is a section of redemption. It's all linked back to Christ. Christ has provided the victory. It is through Christ's strength. He is the one who has conquered Satan. And all we have to do is step into the victory. And when we're relying upon Him by faith, then it is when we have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think that is very interesting to note that here at this point. And don't be thinking to yourself that God send these difficulties and trials. And why would a merciful, a loving God send these things? But we see God, one, is merciful in helping us and delivering us in it. But not only does He deliver us just from the enemies, but rather He uses those difficulties and those circumstances to make us more holy, to sanctify us greater, so we can see Christ more clearly. We get an idea of this in Romans chapter 8 and 34. And it says that this here. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And even there you can see all the great distresses that these people are going through. They're killed all the day long. But what's the apostle say? It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What's he say? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So it's not just that we're merely a conqueror. Yes, we will overcome these things through the strength of God. But we are more than conquerors. It goes beyond just the bare winning the battle. Rather, we are more than conquerors. God blesses us in our difficulties. God blesses us in our trials, that we can get to see Him more clearly. So it's for our good that God sends these things that we would see as hardships, as trouble. He does it for our blessing. And sometimes we can't see that. But we have to realize, as this psalm repeats over and over again, for His mercy endureth forever. We must never look at God and say, well, He's merciful to this person and that person, but He's not merciful to me. God is kind and good, and His everlasting mercy is always toward us. And through even our difficulties, God is doing that to make us better, to make us more like Christ, and we can rely upon Him continually. But then we can move on now, and we'll move on then to verses 21 and 22. God doesn't just simply save us and then cause us to live a life of difficulty, but then there comes a time of rest, a time of great blessing. Look at verses 21 and 22 with me. And gave their land for an heritage, even an heritage unto Israel his servant for his mercy endureth forever. So the last two sections, we see God brings Israel out of Egypt. Then we see God bringing them through the wilderness. But now we see God bringing them into their heritage. And I think this is a wonderful way to end the psalm. Yes, we can take courage that God will be with us here in life. But I think it's the most blessed thing to think that this is not our final home. God has an inheritance for us, an everlasting inheritance. And the time will come when our battles and our troubles and trials in this life will be over. And in the power of strength through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us a home in heaven. He will glorify us in the last. And Romans 8:30 tells us this: moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And if you'll notice those words, you see that there was a predestination in the past, there was a calling in the past, a justification in the past. But here, the Apostle Paul also puts our glorification in the past tense. And that's significant because it shows us the assurance that we have that we are going to make it to heaven. He doesn't leave a single person behind. Whom he predestinates, he also then calls him. He doesn't leave us behind. He redeems us from our sin. But when he justifies us, he also intends to glorify us up ahead. And it's assurance. It's in past tense here. It's not that we're glorified already. Our bodies are, our flesh is ever with us. Our sinful flesh is continually with us here on earth. But the promise is that when we die and when the Savior comes back again, then he will raise us up with a glorified body. That is when glorification takes place. But here in the mind of God, it's as though glorification has already happened. If you're justified tonight, you can rest assured God will also bring you to heaven. And what praise we can bring to God for that, to know that we have a claim to heaven. We know we are going to receive it because we've been justified, because we are resting upon Jesus Christ, and he most certainly will bring us to heaven and to home. So here in this psalm, we have been able to see why we should give thanks to God for all that he's done for us. He has created a wonderful world for us to enjoy. He provides for us every single day with our needs and for our enjoyment in his providence. But especially we think of his redemption, how that he has saved us from our sin, how he leads us continually each and every day through this world. And what a blessing it is to know that we have the Lord Jesus Christ with us each step of the way. And then to know that one day when we die, we will go to be with him, which is far better. And that's how the psalmist concludes this psalm, verses 23 to 26. Who remembered us in our low estate, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. God remembered us when we were slaves of our in sin. He has then redeemed us from all of our enemies. And then the God who provides food for all flesh, he'll provide everything that we need, his people, that we need to make it through this world and then finally brought into heaven and to home. And then we'll see that then we're finally glorified. God blesses us continually throughout all of eternity. And what has he called us to do? As I have said, he's been merciful to us. What does he want us to do? Back at the first few verses, he wants us to give thanks. And that's how he ends this psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. And that is what I just want to leave with you this evening. As we're coming to the time of prayer, remember, God has called us here time and time again. Give thanks to him for all that he has done for us, because his mercy endureth forever. And this he calls us to do. And that's why I want to encourage us all as we're praying this evening. Don't forget, yes, we are to give our petitions to God, and he has told us to ask of him and we will receive. But he also has called us in our prayers to give thanks, that we are to give prayers and supplications with thanksgiving unto God. So let us remember always to be careful to give God the honor and glory for all that he has done for us.